Then, understanding crisis. There are various types of crisis. We just briefly go through. Urgent crisis. Certain things need to be responded very quickly. So, in this kind of situation, we always have sometimes people who are extremely careful, to the point that they cannot act quickly. So sometimes because of too much consideration, too much weighing the situation, then you cannot respond quickly. So if you, in order to get the best answer, you cannot respond quickly, then it is, you miss the chance of rectifying or changing the situation. For example, someone gets sick, in our close circle of beloved ones get sick, or very in very dangerous state. And if you want to contemplate and think slowly and what to do, then very often you may miss the golden time to quickly do something about it. So in such a case, sometimes quick action may not be the perfect action, but it's necessary. So there's an urgent case. If there's an urgent crisis, then you don't have so much time to go through all the protocol, all the procedure in order to get a perfect answer. Sometimes delay is bad. So at that time, sometimes you need to see, depends a little bit on luck, and just respond quickly. Okay? Because you cannot afford to delay. Such a crisis is a crisis that you cannot afford to delay. You cannot afford to waste time. So you have to, depends on how fast you can respond and how quick you can come to make a judgment to assess the situation. Then the second type of crisis, we say chronic crisis. Things which keep dragging on long time. Sometimes these kind of things, people, after some time, they get live to it. They just accept it. Chronic crisis. Like you see the crisis in the Middle East, between Israel and the Palestine. These are something we call very chronic. Drag on for a long time. But that doesn't mean it cannot be solved. Such a thing, if need to be solved, we need to change our mind. But the pity is that sometimes people can waste many generations. Many generations gone, but still people, they are not willing. So much suffering, but they are not willing to let go and give in a little bit. So, two sides. This is a pity. There's no wisdom in thinking that. After all, what can you do? If you continue, like, there's no winning. So there's no winning. Sometimes it is better to settle for lesser target instead of thinking that you want everything. You want the best. No, the best doesn't come. You want the best, the other side also want the best for themselves. So this kind of thing, people should have the wisdom to give in and look into the situation to settle for what is achievable. But sometimes they live really so long already for fame, for face, for ego. People cannot make a crucial change to things. This is the thing, chronic. This is quite easy to explain. All you need to do is recognizing it. Hidden crisis is more difficult. Hidden crisis is the crisis which is not apparent, not clear to you. For example, one simple example, I'm sure you all have, those have brought up children. I'm sure you have experience of teaching your children, right? So sometimes children, they want to cry to want to get what they want, right? They cry, they insist, they want to get what they want. So what parents always do? What Western parents do when the children are naughty, they pull around, they want to get what they want and cry? What Western parents will do? Let them cry, right? Steve, if the Western parents, Western style of parents, like your parents, when they see children crying, maybe you were crying, or maybe other people crying as a child, wanting something, in an unreasonable way, then what would the parents do? Leave them alone, huh? Okay. Not satisfying the child or appeasing the child. Please the child. What about you all? How you regard the child? When the child create you trouble and insists that I want this, you know, even though, you know, this is not justifiable, it's not supposed to get, you know, do all this child. Maybe you say, okay, you finish your homework, I will give you something like that. And then the child didn't get finish the homework and insists on wanting the result. What would you do? And cry and roll on the ground. What would you do? Now, if it won't come out, just roll and cry and bang on the wall, you know, what will happen? Oh, very good, child. I know in China, one child policy, because of the one child policy, I think children like them, they got everything they want, no matter the result. The children just have to surrender, parents have to surrender to them. I think so many one child, because of they only have, that's the only child in the family. So it's like the king and queen. So the parents cannot do anything. The child wants anything, they get. Cry, reasonable, unreasonable, they get. Yes, it's ridiculous actually. When the child fall down, they blame the floor, you know. It's crazy. You know, my mother did that to us also. You know, oh, it's bad, the floor is bad, the floor is bad. You know? No, don't cry. It's not your fault, the floor's flawed. So and we became, like, we have the developed the kind of attitude is if anything wrong, if any suffering happened to me, somebody's wrong, not my wrong. So this is hidden crisis, you know that? This is a hidden crisis. Because the character, the attitude, the wrong attitude is built into the child. Then when they grow up, then they become very bad. Start to not taking responsibility for his or her own wrong and mistakes. And start to blame on other people. But eventually, one day, you won't get your way. This is hidden crisis. That people don't see as crisis. Okay lah, the person is crying, just give in. I had one experience myself. My sister got two boys. Then I did promise. Now I want to, uncle will bring you out, go to have fun after in the park and thing. But you must promise me, behave according to my instruction. Especially on the road. If you simply run about in the road and you don't listen to my instruction, I won't bring you out again for fun. You know, I won't bring you out for fun again. This, I want to see how you behave. Then the elder one listen, they behave. But the younger one was very naughty. When I say, oh no, don't go, don't endanger yourself. No, the more you say, the more he insists on doing it. Okay, I say you watch out. Don't do. Then insists on doing it. Even after two, three times warning, still doing it. Okay, I say finish. Then the next time, I want to bring them for fun again. But I say, no, I'm going to drop the younger child, the younger boy. I want to bring the brother. Then I told my sister, no way I will bring the younger brother. Because he defied instruction, even though he has promised. He had promised to obey, to follow instruction, not to endanger himself. But he insists on doing such a thing to worry me. I said, no, I won't bring someone who will worry me. Because it's very dangerous. You bring a boy, he simply run about on the road. No, you get banged and can be killed. Then how, I will be in big responsibility. No, I say no. So what he did, at first my sister agreed. But then he cried and cried. He rolled in front of me. You know, when I said, no, tomorrow you are not going to go. He rolled in front of me on the ground. You know, that boy is very, very, very good in cry and roll. I said, well, it's your business. I don't torture you. You roll on the ground. You like the ground. Go ahead. You know, I said, I didn't. So, then the child was smart, seeing that the uncle is not responding, and very quickly stopped crying. Because he realized that he couldn't outsmart me. So he stopped crying. Then go back. In front of the mother, did all over again, crying. Turn around, doing this and that. I want to go, I want to go. Then my sister has soft heart, you know, came to beg me. Come on, you know, good brother. Now my son is crying horribly, you know. How? I say, well, that's his choice. I'm not going to surrender. Because he broke his promise and he deserved it. I said, no, I don't care. But if because of him, you disagree with me, then I won't even bring the elder brother. I'm happy to go alone, enjoy myself. I'm not going to bring either. I either bring one, the elder brother, or I don't bring it at all. But I'm not going to surrender to this naughty child and then going to let him outsmart me. No, no way. Then, because this hidden crisis, to me, is if you allow it once, then finish, you spoil the child. In future, he will step up, he put up his stick more. No, he cannot. Then, that day, actually, eventually, my sister gave in. Okay lah, your uncle is not going to budge. Told the boy, this is your choice. Who asked you to do that? Then I brought the elder brother go to the capital, Kuala Lumpur, have fun for one full day and coming back. And then the brother was so happy. Oh, I have this, I saw that. But the younger brother cried, but couldn't do anything. From that time onwards, he never behaved like that child. Then in fact, he told my sister, my uncle, this uncle, second uncle, so each you eat, so urge you earth. He said, one is one, two is two. There's no bushing around, you know. Then he told, and after that, always behave well. And I say, okay, now, if you study, you complete your lesson, you complete your homework, I'm going to bring you out. Yes, they follow. They can create trouble for other people, but never create trouble for me. Because they follow discipline, you know. At the same time, I love them, you know. I brought them out, I spend money on them, let them have fun in the park, things like that, you know. But I made a very strict rule. If you endanger yourself, I'm not going to allow. No. No. Not even at all costs. So, I think this kind of thing is hidden crisis. When we go by appeasement, this is hidden crisis. Can you see a bigger hidden crisis? During the Second World War, when Adolf Hitler, he started to conquer one country, another country, and tell the France and Great Britain, no problem, no, this is because of this. I will stop here. Something like that, you know, they go by treaty, this kind of thing. So, because they don't want to go to war, France, Great Britain, they didn't want to go to war with Germany. Okay lah, never mind lah, okay lah, this. But eventually, you cannot satisfy the greed of Hitler. So he got more, then end up in Second World War. If you stop him at first instance, then maybe no need to go to the extent of having Second World War. You know, when the Jews were killed, so they closed one eye. You know, all of these big countries, they closed one eye because it's not my business. But eventually, it became a very great disaster. This is hidden crisis. When a person's doing the wrong courses and got the result he or she wants, that is the hidden crisis. When people develop the wrong idea, getting the wrong thinking, these wrong courses, and believing the wrong courses can produce good result, that is a hidden crisis. Wrong view is hidden crisis. When people get brainwashed by wrong views, that is a hidden crisis. Because mind is the forerunner of all states. If that person have that wrong inclination, wrong thinking, wrong idea, you can almost for sure, it's a matter of time that such a person will run into big crisis in life. So these are all hidden crises that many people don't see and think it is okay. It is okay to pacify, to appease, to give in. No way. You see? But for the mother, the loving mother, the soft-hearted mother, she didn't think like that, okay lah, just, you know, if just appease the child, then stop him from disturbing me, and stop him from crying. But he's going to create bigger problem for you in future. It is better to undertake that small problem this time. You know, that's it. Hidden crisis. And another hidden crisis is when you smoke in the forest, depends on dry forest. People don't see, it's a small spark, but that can burn the whole forest if it is a dry forest. This is also a hidden crisis. So, in leadership, the one important hidden crisis that we should always avert is we go by cause and effect. If a wrong causes, never reward a wrong cause. Never. Never go and reward a wrong cause. People do a wrong thing, you reward them, giving good result, then finish. So there's a hidden crisis. Let the people get a wrong notion of cause and effect. Those are hidden crises. So we have to watch out for this. Urgent crisis is obvious, we can know. Chronic crisis, usually is obvious, you can know. What we can know is a matter of determination. It's a matter of sincerity. It's a matter of wisdom and willingness to overcome. We can always get experts to help us. But hidden crisis, it requires wisdom to see. Okay? It requires a lot of understanding, the dependent origination wisdom, the wisdom on the law of cause and effect. This will be helpful. Structural crisis. Chinese, I say, 本质危机啦. Structural or maybe by nature or by essence. I would call it structural. It's difficult to find a better word. So I think this is the closest word I can use. Structural crisis. That means by nature, it's meant to be problematic. It's meant to be problematic. What are the things? During the Buddha's time, there was once in the monastery, you know the famous monastery, Anathapindika's monastery, Jetavana. So the Buddha always stayed there. Buddha spent about 24 or 26 vasa over there. So it's a very important monastery. Then at one time the King Pasenadi, gave a land immediately next to that land, and gave it to the heretics, and let them build a monastery there. The Buddha realized this is going to be problematic. The Buddha told Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Mahamoggallana, please go and tell the king, don't do that. Don't let another religion to have a monastery immediately next to my monastery. Elsewhere is okay, but not so near. Then the King Pasenadi pay no attention, just ignore. Who are you? Just ignore, he's the king. He didn't care about Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Mahamoggallana advice, even though they carry the message of the Buddha. And what the Buddha did? The Buddha went himself to the palace, talked to the king, and told stories, Jataka story, that in the ancient time, there was a big, big tree, and under that big tree, 1,000 ascetics, 500 from one side, another 500 from another side, they rest under the same tree together. And during that resting, you know those disciples, they always start to talk, you know. Oh, what my teacher teach? What your teacher teach? Oh, my teacher is superior. Oh, your teacher is superior. And then eventually they went into a fight. Then you people punch my people. Oh, cannot. Our people must protect our people and punch. And from punch to using knife and to killing. And eventually all 1,000 at the city all die. Then that's what the Buddha said. No, this cannot. If they are so near to each other, having the acute differences in opinion and ideas, let them don't stay close to each other. Of course, now modern days, sometimes you have the rule and thing, or one side you have to give in, but it is problematic, always problematic. So, not to come so near. It's structural crisis. It's structural crisis by nature. So eventually the Buddha was able to convince the king, and then the king gave another piece of land far away, not so near, to the Jetavana. So this kind of crisis, we say, structural crisis. By nature, if you pull two different people with different opinion and make them stay together and in frequent contact. The modern days is different. You can have fans up. Modern days, even the next door, you don't contact sometimes. Okay, that's not so bad. But if you have a frequent contact without a fans, without a things, frequent contact because of the jealousy, because of competition, because of all sorts of things can happen because of human nature. So this have to be avoided by certain ways to overcome the structural problem. We call this structural crisis. So what about ADS? Is it possible for ADS to have a structural crisis? It is possible, you know. But we have done something to avoid the most serious. First, that's what Seoroji said. When we invited Seoroji to be the Nayaka, Seoroji hesitated. He hesitated for some time. Then eventually he said this to me. If they want to really want to offer the land and for the Sangha to operate, they must promise to obey the Sangha. He said that. The committee, the donors, must promise to obey the Sangha. Then I said, yes, no problem. The donors are very happy to invite the Sangha to be the Sangha committee. Then he felt good about it, trust. Why? It's very clear. If those who know the Dhamma and Vinaya cannot lead, and if those who control finances, they lead, just in many of the monasteries, you find the lay people, because the monk cannot control money, cannot use money, so the lay people control the money, and because of that, they control the monks. Such a monastery is horrible. A lot of bad things happen. And a lot of bad karma is committed by those committee. Because they control the Sangha. They maneuver, play, and pitch the Sangha. It's better to have the Sangha into two camps. So that both are trying to win the favor of the lay people. So when this happens in some monastery, finish. So this should not happen. So when Seoroji said that, he was trying to avert a structural crisis. Because it is only true and suitable and according to natural law that those who are competent, those who are expert in their field, let them have a command in that field. So in terms of teaching, in terms of what to teach, in terms of what observer, what Vinaya to observe, the expert, the senior, the elders, the well-trained one, they must be able to command. That is very important. So this is the thing that we, from the very beginning, we don't quickly walk into the thing. You know, when Megan was telling me, I said, we are not in a hurry to walk into accepting a land or accepting a place. Provided you can agree on certain fundamentals so that in future, when we develop this monastery, we will not fall into structural crisis. So we are very open about it. I told her, I said, cannot. We have to be very clear. And we have to learn the management. And still I made structural crisis mistake. Certain people seem to be very good, very faithful. I always insist that those who are in the core group of the operation, they must fulfill four qualifications. Whole life must keep five precepts. And regularly, every week, keep 8 precepts. Must practice and be a beneficiary in this community, in this monastery. And they must learn Dhamma leadership. Otherwise, better don't lead. This is what we insist. But I made serious mistake with regards to certain people who are very faithful, very nice, very, very helpful, very generous. But thinking that, well, I'm leading my group, I'm leading my business. No. For many years, I say, please come to Dhamma leadership. Because the people like that already, because of the ability, from the beginning already end up in important position. But when crisis happen, when misunderstanding happen, when emotions are affected, then because of lack of Dharma leadership training, because of not knowing how to deal with misunderstanding and problem, not knowing how to deal with conflicts and apply the worldly ways, then it causes serious problem. So these are structural crises. If this is important rule, we make sure we observe it. And sometimes we don't see it, we say, never mind lah, this is important person. You know, they don't follow rule, never mind. Yeah? Okay, because we also find it difficult to offend if we, you know, people are in a critical position and in a very important to help and very helpful. So such a person, okay lah, never mind. Because we also, you know, if a person is in a very helpful position, it's how to remove the person when we actually is already in critical position in the development. So how? So there's sometimes as a leader, we also find it difficult to insist. And after all, the person is not a bad person, it's good people. So it's difficult to say, I want to remove a good people, I want to remove a very good helper, just because you don't come for my Dharma leadership course. But the problem is, the problem arose exactly because of not having Dharma leadership wisdom. Not knowing how to handle the attack of Mara. Later I will talk about the attack of Mara. So these things happen. So later I realized, when I was leading the China group, I was very insistent. No core member who cannot fulfill the four qualifications. If you don't fulfill this qualification, don't be the core member. I was very insistent. And now all my students, they realize the benefits of it. They say when the teacher insists, oh, it's good. Now they see the difference. Those group that do not follow this kind of things, they always end up in quarrel and messy. But those who are to follow this requirement, they are more matured in handling differences, in handling crisis, conflicts, and etc. So this is very important. This is also considered structural crisis. If we give exception just because this is important person, and we don't have the heart to be adamant, and then eventually there will come a time that this happens. You never know. So that's why we have to be very careful. You want to say something? No, you see, hidden crisis need not be structural crisis. Hidden crisis means it is not seen. But it is possible structural crisis can also be obvious crisis. It need not be hidden. You know, it can be obvious crisis. And in that case, I knew it was obvious. But I thought, well, we can delay, maybe later people will have a change of mind, people may realize. I knew it was problematic. When people are not trained and not competent and undertaking certain workload which they are not really competent and well trained to undertake it. So I already knew this is a structural problem. But because I thought, now how to rectify it? It was so difficult to rectify because you already built up things on top of it already. You cannot afford to see it collapse. Then we end up building more and more. But eventually it collapsed. You know? So structural crisis need not be hidden. Hidden crisis need not be a structural crisis. But it can be a case that it is also hidden crisis and it can also be structural crisis. There may be a subset between both. You know? Hidden means hidden. Structural means structural. If the structural crisis is not easily seen, it's not obvious, then we say there's hidden crisis. Hidden crisis requires deep wisdom, penetrative observation to see. Structural crisis, it only requires expertise. You know it is a, as long as you have knowledge that, you know, for example, you are an engineer. You know how to calculate this kind of soil, this kind of land, how you should lay down your foundation. So if it is not laid down well, you know it's a structural crisis. But hidden crisis means you may not be able to see deep under the ground. There may be a crack or something like that, you know. Or maybe there's a water flowing down there, which may one day erode away the soil, which you don't see. But you have done everything correctly according to structure. But you don't have the deep penetration observation to know the hidden problem. That is hidden crisis.
Yes.
If you want to call it also can. You want to call it also can, but it's not so much like that. It's more like because it is hidden. You know? But structural is like by nature. You put the two enemies together, so closely together, meeting each other face to face every day. And then without a plan to how to reconcile them, then it's very likely that one day they look at each other, they hate each other, they suspect each other more and more. Then they end up, because they're close to each other. They depend on each other, something like that. You know? So there's structure. But it doesn't matter, it's a name only. See, sometimes structural crisis can be urgent crisis as well. Hidden crisis can be urgent as well. So if it has an urgent element, it need not be always separate, clearly distinct. This and this is not overlapping. It can overlap. Urgent means urgent. Chronic means chronic. Hidden means hidden, structural means structural. Okay? A crisis can have many of these elements, you know? Many of these elements. But I would suppose chronic crisis is not urgent crisis until the last part of the chronic crisis. If the chronic crisis comes to the last part, it could be urgent also. It could turn into urgent. You never know. Huh? Okay? And it's also possible that urgent crisis, and because of certain action, we can drag it, and it becomes a chronic crisis. So it is interchangeable. The nature of it is interchangeable. Okay? What is this? Unexpected crisis. In fact, unexpected crisis can be hidden also. Some can be hidden. Then you become, what is hidden is something it can become unexpected. But I especially highlight this. You know, not to say that it must be different from the rest, especially highlight certain elements of unexpectedness. Okay? Okay, this, sorry, talk about urgent, chronic, hidden, structural. Okay. Anyway, actually, you cannot finish the list. You know, you can always think of new group. One is extraordinary. How to detect it? Sometimes it happens when there are extraordinary attraction. You know, either it is intentionally created to be so, or it was unintentional. But when there's extraordinary attention suddenly appear and capture attention or divert attention, sometimes something unexpected may happen. The bad people, they all want to do something, they want to distract your attention or attract you elsewhere so that they can do something to you, or they want to steal something from you. The thief in those days, they will distract your attention, then after that they can snap on your purse, something like that. The other one is attack on values. Whether it's hidden or not, it can be hidden if you don't see, but if you see, it is not hidden. When values are attacked, values of a people, of a country, of a group, of an organization, of a religion, if the values are attacked, you can expect wrong things to happen eventually. 价值观受到攻击. Because it can easily turn you against yourself, make you your own enemy. This is when there's an attack on values. It's very dangerous. So, then as a leader, we get very sensitive, we have to be very sensitive. If in the organization we find elements attacking on the values, then we are very sensitive. We have to guard. We don't simply trust such people. Even though the persons may appear to be altruistic, oh, I take all the values for the good of everybody. No way. If you want to talk about the values, you want to improve on the values, let's talk about it. But for the values given by the Buddha, I don't think there's anything we can talk about it. I don't think there's anything we can change. The Buddha has his Sabbanyutanyana. Who are we to change? So, especially if those values are upheld by all the great masters through many generations, such values we don't allow it to be attacked. And if it is attacked, then we don't trust the attacker. That's very important. If values are attacked, then that means it's an attack on the root of the organization. This is very important. You have to be careful. But if it is only a query, oh, I don't understand why things are that, that is fine. Attack means attack. It is unfriendly. It is bad, you know. That is an attack. If it is a query, I don't understand this value. Why these values come about? Is what is the rationale behind this value? These are okay. This is a learning process. Inquisitive knowledge. Inquisitive attitude. That is perfectly alright. It is alright to be inquisitive. But attack means, you know, you don't even need much reason. Just because I hate it, I attack. Well, this is enemies of the organization. They have to know it like that. And warm water, because warm water cooking frog. You know what this is? Warm water cooking frog? You know, huh? What is the meaning? Yeah, no way. What's the meaning? No way to jump out, right? Now, warm water means if you put a frog into the water and you slowly cook, the frog may not notice. By the time the frog noticed, it was too late to jump out. This is what we mean by 温水煮青蛙. You know, Mama? 温水煮青蛙 is like that. It's the meaning. Warm water cooking frog. You cook the frog slowly, slowly, and then eventually you cannot escape. So we have to be very careful. This kind of danger is very careful. You have to be very alert. Things are coming, inching into your way, and eventually you are finished. Then, hidden influence. Hidden influence also, it is a kind of hidden crisis. No? Hidden influence is unexpected. It comes in an unexpected way. But it is a hidden. You know? In what way? For example, you trust this person. Okay. This person is very capable, very good helper, very sincere. You cannot find fault with him. Everything is correct and good. Everything. But, and then you give all the trust, the whole organization give trust to this person. But what happens if this person doesn't have independent of thinking? He's always influenced by someone else. And then depends on that someone else. Even though you trust this person, you rely on this person, you are actually relying on the person that has strong influence over him. Then you have to take into account of that person who has strong influence over him. Right or not? If he receives a strong influence from someone else, so you, when you judge this person, you measure, okay, this much he can take the load. This much he can take, he's trustworthy. But you cannot only count him, you should count the person who have a strong influence over him. If you don't consider that, then it can be very serious crisis and danger. In China, there's once, I was asking about one of my helper. I asked them, what happened to this helper? Then they told me, 师父,他得了气管炎. You know? China people know, You know, everybody understand this disease? 气管炎. 气管炎 in English is like bronchitis disease, something like that. But in Chinese, it doesn't mean only that disease. It's the actual disease. Then I say, oh, how miserable. Then what is another one? Then somebody also get 气管炎. So I got two important helper, male one, got 气管炎. So what is 气管炎? Then I said, well, how miserable. I want to call him, you know, what happened to him? I was so naive. I didn't know about it. You know? I was so innocent. I said, "Wow, what happened? 气管炎? Oh, it must be very." I saw him recently. He was so good. Stay healthy. How come got 气管炎? Then my student laughed at me. You know, Bante, I don't mean the actual disease. The Chinese use a similar sound. 气 actually represents the prana 气, but 气 also is close to the meaning of wife. Guan is the bronchitis. Guan is also equivalent. The word also can mean control. Wife control. Yan is a disease. You know, the kind of fever. So wife control fever. You know. And that word fever also have a similar sound with the word yan, means very strict. Wife control strict. So he got a serious disease of wife control sick. Very strict. Wife control very strict. So he actually promised me many things. These 2% promised me, want to do this. Then they vanish into the thin air. Because the wife want to go for travel, for tour. Why you want to do this meditation, you know? So those wife who, if such a person, they marry a wife who enjoys sensual pleasures, don't care about Dhamma, and then the husband very pious, but if the husband has no independent thinking, cannot, you know, always get carried away by the wife, then you must take into account of that wife. You know, if the wife is reliable, okay. If the wife is not reliable, then you rely on this person, and this person listen to the wife, then finish. Your work is finished. So don't, this is considered hidden influence. 气管炎, huh? So this is the thing. So we have a big laugh, a very good laugh. But I never see this person got 气管炎 appear again. You know, very pitiful. People who love Dhamma, so much piety for the Dhamma, and end up vanishing in the thin air. Luckily we didn't put all our stake on him. 气管炎, huh? Nowadays, seems women are more dominant in the family, right? I don't know. Deepa more dominant or you more dominant? He's a boss. But he told me, you know, he said, without my wife around, I can't do anything. So he has to depend on the wife, you know. He told me, you know, you talk to my wife, you know. He said, you know, this thing, I think you talk to her, I cannot do anything without her. So what can I do? Luckily, both of you are okay. Are faithful, you know. Otherwise, I also consider this 气管炎 also. So anyway, so very difficult, Okay. Putting unexpected crisis in check. So first is, there are many things you can do, you can think of. I cannot finish it, I just simply quote some example for your food for thought. Sound decision-making process. If you have a decision-making process, go by procedure, so it balance up, you know, balance up. So create the kind of decision-making process which can minimize things. For example, hidden crisis, or things like that. But if you go by procedure, sometimes you can save a lot of problems. You know? It's just like the security process in the airport. Because they insist on certain procedural requirements. So whether you are big boss or whoever, they don't care. You have to go through that process. So that gives the security. Then if you want to rely on people, you check on their record of trustworthiness. Their record. That's the best. If a person, if you're greedy even for small money, then how can you entrust big money to that person? Cannot. So there's another approach is testing water step by step. Not the water, testing water step by step. 试水啊, you know? The best is to test water. Don't simply trust. Don't simply trust. Just the best is let experience speak for it. Because unless you can see into the person's karma, read into the person's mind and all the past potential and the inclinations, like the Buddha. Otherwise, you cannot know exactly. So the best is you test water step by step. I have seen people who are very nice, very friendly, very trustworthy when the person was rich. and successful. And one time, my helper end up miserable and bad luck occur. Well, it happened to everybody at times. Then suddenly I realized I got a shock. This capable person, this nice person, end up like a suddenly very untrustworthy. Even little money is greedy and things like that. No more as generous as before, no more as kind as before, and even greedy to the point of not upholding the necessary principle. So you never know. You never know. Some people are good at good time, but bad at bad time. Some people are good at bad times, but in good time, they forsake you. They are bad at good times. Do you have such people? In China, you remember the Chinese king, Gou Jian? You know? Yes. In the hard time, he got all his faithful people around with him. They were like brothers. But when he was a good time and when he became the king, his position was secure. He would not share his fortune with his friends who suffer with him, go along with him, and he just dumped them. You know, even cruel to them. So such a people are good friends at bad time, comrade has bad time, and enemy in good time. It can be. So you never know. So test water step by step. Like that. And the fourth is taking truth as the real head. This is the best. You know? Instead of allowing one single individual to hold sway. That's a bit risky. Only during the Buddha's time, the Buddha, of course, the Buddha is truth. You know, the Buddha is perfect. He's a Dhamma. Okay, no problem. But what about other people who are less perfect and not so perfect? And if you take that as absolute, then it can be dangerous if the person happen to be wrong. And the fifth is never assume. You know, can you see the word assume? I remember in my pre-university days, one of my friends, classmate, he was telling, and because the teacher was saying, now in economics, we make certain assumptions, we have to assume like this and assume like that. Then he said, teacher, never assume. When you assume, you're putting the S before you and me. Right or not? You're putting the S, A-S-S, before you and me. It means you are making a fool of yourself if you assume. Don't simply assume. Of course, when you study, you have to assume. But in real life, don't simply assume. Always take action to ascertain the ground. Check it out. Don't simply assume. People who always assume, they always end up in big trouble. Don't simply assume. Always verify. Always check. Fact check. Fact check. That's important. Okay, for crisis management, one important thing we do is 喜砍重险,舍逆取顺. 喜砍重险, I translate as, this is in I Ching. Advice given in I Ching. Chinese ancient knowledge. Train in ordeals, care for danger. Train in ordeals. In difficult time, in hard time, train yourself in hard time. Care for the danger. Bother, you know, care for it. Don't say, oh, it's danger. Never mind, don't think about danger. No, we have to think about danger, whether it comes or not come. Train in ordeals, care for danger. 习砍重险. 坎坷的坎. 练习的习, 坎坷的坎. 注重的重, 危险的险. 重视的重, 危险的险. 习砍重险, which means prepare for the worst, be ready to manage crisis, be ready to manage danger. The more ready you are, the less chances this crisis come to you. If you are not ready, the chances of crisis coming to you is much more. Then the second, avoid the rough sea, opt for the soft cake. You know, avoid the rough sea. 舍逆取顺. What is the difficult, rough avoid it. When you come to actual operation, right? Training time is different. Train, you always train for the toughest. Give yourself a tougher training, like the, you know, the SEAL training. They give themselves all kind of difficult training so that they become tough and ready for the calling of the time. But when they come to actual operation, of course they choose the safest and easiest path. Right or not? You don't go and find trouble yourself. You choose the easiest path in actual operation. So in training time, train in orders, care for danger. In actual operation, avoid the rough sea, opt for the soft cake, means go for the easy way. Of course, not the easy way with hidden danger. Actual easy way. Actual good journey. Not the one easy way with hidden danger. A lot of easy things is we have hidden crisis there. We are talking, take the best option. Okay? In what situation? Whether involving change or unchanged decision, mastering the timing for action and inaction, and then with regards to the various methods to transform platform. Sometimes you have to, this is danger, this is harmful, change another platform. Then you may be able to avoid the rough sea. Okay? Then in fact, many crisis management come in ordinary times. If you train yourself in ordinary time, make sure you have the usual drill, then by the time the crisis actually comes, you are already well prepared. Okay? This is the thing. And then, this is some ideas, certain principles in regarding absence and presence of any condition. Presence of this, absence of this. That is the one important thing. You try to change your variables in terms of crisis management. Just remember, this is a big topic to talk about. And there are many miscellaneous things which help to overcome crisis directly or indirectly, preventive. So we can go by this. Identifying qualification. This is one important. Make sure people are qualified. If people are not qualified for the position, then usually crisis happen. Okay, let's read. Let's read together. One must be qualified to be authorized to perform any test. He must have the deserving power to exercise authority, which should translate into producing true benefits for the target beneficiaries. Know how to know deserving or not deserving? No abuse of authority. Why exercise of authority for good? So you want to know the person deserves authority or not? Give some authority, see whether the person will abuse the authority or not, and whether the person will guard the authority, use the power for good. If it can produce true benefit, okay. If produce harmful thing, that's not okay. Very simple.